Welcome back to Sports Out the Wazoo, sponsored by Capone's, located off of 454 West King Street. 265-1886 is the number for some great pizza. We're talking NFL right now. We're talking another disappointing weekend for the Panthers. Hasn't happened
well,
in a few weeks.
Yeah, the first one in a few weeks.
Hasn't happened in a few weeks, but it's happened four times already this year, and that's the key.
Hold your horses for a second, because it's not a disappointing – I mean, it is a disappointing win for the Panthers as a team, but it's more – a disappointing win for Jake DeLhomme. I'm done. I've defended him enough for the past three.
I've been trying to tell you for the last six, seven games.
And I think each week I've progressed more and more to that. I've gotten to the point where it's like, okay, Jake,
bandwagon trickle-down effect. That's what it sounds
like. No, it's each week it's been Jake.
Jump on, buddy. We've been along for like last six, 7 weeks. Kazepas, you've been on the wagon. I know it.
No, it's been more the situation where Jake – I recognize that you've done some great things in the past, but every week you're making more
mistakes. Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, exactly.
It's absolutely pathetic
but on
right
Sunday,
now. He has 15 interceptions in six games.
He leads the NFL in interceptions, but I'll tell you this right here, Brandon.
George Blanda has some company coming his way if Jake DeLhomme continues at this pace.
Well, you don't get ahead of yourself, but I'll say you this. Jake DeLhomme single-handedly blew this game. He threw three interceptions. The last one, throw that one out the window. The game was already decided at that point.
Yeah, but either way, it's adding up, and two of them including
him. That's got nothing to do with the outcome of the game.
He's
got
to have almost close to record by now. How many pick sixes has he had this season already? I mean, there's been so many, and especially since
I don't think he's anywhere close to a record.
Yeah, I'm going to try to see if I can find a stat with DeLhomme's interceptions and how many points they scored off of each one of those.
He's
and
not
I'm sure
the only
it's
bad quarterback to ever play in the NFL.
But he's the worst one in the NFL, in my opinion.
You know, you can't be serious.
You think
Jake DeLhomme's worse than Jamarcus Russell?
I think he's right there
you
with Jamarcus Russell.
You think he's worse than Derek Anderson, who completed 2 of 17 passes a couple weeks ago?
And
you're
they still won the
right
game.
Now.
They still won the game.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does. Wins
he's
matter.
The quarterback.
That's what gets you in the playoffs.
Okay, you're going to take Derek Anderson, who's the leader of a 1-7 Bill Browns team ahead of Jake DeLhomme.
The reason the Browns are 1-7 isn't because of Derek Anderson, though. It's because of the rest of the team. This Panthers team has some of the most talent in the NFC.
I'm not defending Jake DeLhomme, but I think you need to be
because of Jake.
I'm not defending Jake DeLhomme, but I think you need to realize he's not the worst quarterback in the NFL.
He's pretty close. He's at the bottom of the barrel.
He is at the bottom, but he's not the worst. You got to be kidding me if you think Jamarcus Russell.
He's scraping the seaweed off of the boat. That's for
Honestly, in all honesty, right now, you think Jamarcus Russell is a better quarterback than Jake DeLhomme?
I think they're pretty close.
He was pulled on Sunday.
I think Jake needs to be pulled.
He does. I'll agree with that. I'm saying that right now, Jake DeLhomme is done. I think he's going to start this week because in today's press conference, John Fox said...
They have nobody else. That's the thing.
Exactly. But in today's press conference, John Fox said, look, I'm not going to make that decision right now. It's only Monday. Rightfully so. That's what a coach does. You got to wait to evaluate that situation through the week on practice. You better believe a guy like Matt Moore, AJ Feely, is going to get some first-team reps during the week in practice, and that's when he'll make that decision. But Jake DeLhomme, he cost them the game. Those two interceptions he threw took points off the board. And I'll give you these numbers right here, Brandon. It's not like the team played bad. The defense...
Defense is great.
Defense played great. Remarkable. But total yardage for the Panthers, 425 to 167. You know what that tells me? The offense moved the ball up and down the field. But when it came time to cash in for six, they made monumental mistakes that swung momentum. And that's exactly what happened. Who does that go back to? Jake DeLhomme. This has got nothing to do with John Fox. It's got all to do with Jake DeLhomme. He cost them the game.
Well, yeah, you know, his two interceptions definitely led to all of Buffalo's points. On top of that, Casey missed two field goals, a very rare game for him.
Yeah, one bad game in 13 years, give the guy a break.
Yeah, that's my thinking. I don't care if he misses three field goals in a row. I'm still sending him out there if it's a game-winning chance, a game-tying chance, whatever. Yeah. My trust is completely in him, unlike Jake DeLhomme. On the other end of that as well, you had Kenneth Moore fumble on a punt return, which ultimately wrapped the game and tied the bow around it for the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are one – I mean, this is a terrible team. This is – what were they, dead last or 30, 31st, 32nd somewhere
last in rushing
and really in total defense as well. And really, we didn't run the ball. I saw Jake DeLhomme continuously try to pass it. And the thing is it's not that he's just throwing picks, people aren't reading routes well or something like that. He's making bad decisions. He just cannot even throw the ball.
He's not sharp. No, and I agree.
Awful.
And the first interception he threw was intended for Gary Barnidge. He way overthrew him, and it turned into a blatant interception.
He way overthrew Kenneth Moore. He way overthrew Dwayne Jarrett. There was one great pass that he made, and that was to Gary Barnidge. Other than that,
No. He hit Steve Smith late on that last drive to get them close.
And really, really, a lot of that was all Steve Smith. He was coming down in two and three.
No, he threaded the needle on that pass. The thing with Jake Delhomme is he's so inconsistent. For every one good throw or every two good throws he makes seven, eight, nine bad ones in return.
You want to see thread the needle, you look up Peyton Manning or Tom Brady in the dictionary.
They thread the needle. They do it on a consistent basis. Jake Delhomme can do it.
That's what a good quarterback is.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I agree with you, but he doesn't do it on a consistent basis. That's the problem.
Here's my thing. I can thread the needle one or two times in a game. Shoot, you can make me look really good. I can lob a pass up to Steve Smith, and he'll probably catch one or two of them. But if that's all I can do, I'm not a starting quarterback.
You're preaching to the choir. I agree with you 100%. Jake Delhomme needs to go. It's not his problem. It's not the fact that he's physically unable to be a quarterback. It's his mental mindset. He's not being consistent week to week, and that's what even
I agree.
Even down to down, it's just awful. He needs to go. Sad situation is the Panthers really don't have anyone to turn to, and unless A.J. Feely makes a real strong impression in practice this week, expect Jake Delhomme on Sunday against the Cardinals, and I think this is the game that you're going to see is what you heard in the press conference today from Fox was more or less, Jake, don't make me do this. Jake, I don't want to do this to you, buddy, but I'm getting to that point where I have to do this. Jake, don't make me do this. Prove me wrong, buddy. And I think that's what you're going to see. If Jake doesn't prove him wrong on Sunday, he's done.
What does he have to do to not prove him wrong, though? Only throw one interception?
He's got to lead them to victory.
And see, I don't think there's any way. I think the only way I think he can keep his job unless he has an awful game for at least two or three more weeks. I think that's going to be the case because they don't have anybody else.
You know why? But I think can't afford that anymore, Brandon, because John Fox.
Oh, I know, but they don't have anything else. I mean, A.J. Feely's going to go out there.
But you know what, John Fox, as a coach, I think he's safe right now. It's not based on what he's done, but quarterbacks are ultimately linked, or coaches are ultimately linked to their quarterbacks, and if you hold on to a guy for too long, that can mark the end of your career.
Which is what
as well.
John Fox has done, but I think that because of the talent on the rest.
Well, if you're talking about holding on for another two or three weeks, it's really going to do it. That's what I'm saying. He can't afford it anymore. It's one more week and
then
go from there.
I just don't know that just abandoning it and going to A.J. Feely, who's been a backup his whole life anyways, is the best thing.
But if you're a backup, eventually you got to start. That's the point of being a backup.
That's what
it's
we talked about Chris Winkie, though. I mean, there's tons of backups in the NFL that are awful. I don't know. But either way, I think Jake Delhomme has to limit the turnovers, and I think he can only have like one interception this week if he wants to keep it beyond this week. If he has two or three, I just don't see him lasting too much longer.
It's definitely going to be. I mean, the Panthers, they ran the ball well. They had 116 yards.
They're doing fine on the ground.
They just didn't do enough. Honestly, if you look back to a lot of these teams, this team's problems outside of a few special teams mistakes, and those have been there, as you talked about with Kenny Moore, the hometown boy out of Charlotte, out of Butler.
And he's done well.
He fumbled it.
But that was a costly mistake.
And they're a young team. And like we talked about with Darren Gant, a year from now, we're not going to be talking about this team being an old team. We're going to talk about this team being a very young team. So let's not get this straight. There's tons of talent on this team. But I think if you look back.
Yeah, that's not what we're saying.
You look back to the majority of problems with this team, especially on offense. You look directly back to why Steve Smith is happy. It's not that Steve Smith's not open. It's that there's a quarterback who can't connect with him. Plain and simple.
Steve Smith only has probably about a 48-inch vertical, and I use only very loosely. I mean, he can't catch 12 foot passes.
Hats off to Steve Smith though, because he had quite the game. 6 receptions, 1 yard short of 100 yards, 99 yards, 16.5 yards per reception. He had a long of 11. His longest was 48, that last bomb at the end of the game that Jake Delhomme hit him on. We'll give him credit for that. But Steve Smith was playing with a heavy heart. His junior college coach out in California, same coach who coached him and Ocho Cinco on the same team, passed away on the weekend. So he was really choked up in the postgame news conference on Sunday evening. So hats off to him. He came back and had a rebound game, even though
he's a pro.
Even though he doesn't have much to work with. And his fire and passion was definitely there. Moving on, though, there were some other great games of interest. The game that really was supposed to be the highlight of the afternoon and ended up being the highlight was Vikings and Steelers. And I tell you what.
And that was the only game that I really saw that was great. I think every other game probably lost a lot of ratings.
The Vikings, as much as you want to say it, they should have won that game because they controlled a lot of the statistical categories. But you know what? Their defense didn't make plays when it mattered. The Steelers did. Had two defensive touchdowns that were the momentum swings in the game. You had Lamar Woodley's fumble return for a touchdown, and then you had Fox's
interception
return for a touchdown. And then, of course, how about the Vikings for being so gutsy to come right back on that kick return and return that one for a touchdown and end up blowing out the referee of somewhere around the 25-yard line?
That was brutal.
But it was a back-and-forth heavyweight fight throughout it. At first, there was a lot of tap dancing. There was a lot of guys just kind of feeling their way around the ring. And then the second half came back, And I tell you what, they were landing uppercut after uppercut. It was great to watch. It was exciting football.
You know what? I saw the Vikings really step their game up. Now, obviously, I think they relied too heavily on Brett Favre, and I think that was kind of what we said was, is it when the game kind of comes down to it, is it going to be Adrian Peterson with the ball in his hands or Brett Favre? And I think Brett Favre was what ultimately kind of cost them down the stretch.
No, but I'm torn on that because, I mean, the throw he made, it wasn't really his fault. It got tipped and then it was intercepted. But at the same time, he should have maybe not thrown to that guy, or maybe he should have lofted it a little higher so that wasn't. But I tell you what, that oops, did I do that face that Brett Favre has, it's priceless. I haven't seen it this year. That was the first time I got to see it, but it's priceless.
And you know what? And I think that might be good for the Vikings later on, because I think being able to be tested now, get a loss out of the way against the Steelers team, I think Brett Favre's really going to learn from this. I think the Vikings are going to be able to adjust. I see a good team in the Vikings. They have the potential to put it together to be in the Super Bowl later on. I mean, obviously, there's some good teams. The Saints still have obviously, they struggled a little bit against the Dolphins,
no, we'll
but they're still
in
a class,
second.
And the Giants. But I think the Vikings are up in that upper caliber now.
I mean, they were there all along. I just wanted to see if they could stay there. I was more impressed that they actually hung with the AFC team.
And that was what I thought. I wanted them to be able to win this game, obviously. That would have really proven it. But being able to hold with the Steelers for as long as they did and really kind of showcase the talent that they have, Jared Allen continues to impress me on defense. And really, you look at this defensive unit, even though they didn't make the plays that they needed to, when they did down the stretch, I thought they were still very impressive
overall. Their defense is, for me, and we'll wrap this up real quickly talking about them, I think their defense this year has kind of been slightly unimpressive. They got a lot of talent, and there are periods where they play really great, but they've given up a lot of points. They've given up a lot of yardage the past few weeks. And then, like you said, when it mattered most, everything was on the line. They didn't necessarily stand up and make plays like they really should have. So
but I think they have the playmakers on this team, at least, though, to be able to take
them
far.
They got to put it together, though. It's not enough to be a paper mache team. You got to put it together and see what happens.
I agree.
But the Vikings, still very impressive. Statistically, they should have won that game. But you know what? Statistics are for losers. That's what John Fox likes to say.
Yeah, the only stat that matters is the final score. That's
exactly. And I tell you what, Pittsburgh, their defense coming through. Who would have thought that? I mean, it's game after game, year after year.
That defense continues to impress, because when you have a turnover, they score more points in the offense sometimes. It's absolutely impressive.
The other game that I really I got caught up in watching after the Panthers game kind of ended, I really should have watched more of that game than the Panthers game, was the Miami-New Orleans game. And there was a lot of smack talking going back and forth during the week. Channing Crowder, who's known for his smack talking of the Dolphins, the linebacker for the Dolphins, he was getting in on it. And I tell you what, the Saints, this had the makings to be one of those, let's just go through the motion game. And that doesn't happen a lot in the NFL, but I think the Saints were expected to just walk into Miami and bowl over them. And then when you talk about the Wildcat offense that Miami has, that throws people for fits.
Well, so, let me just say this, though. Drew Brees, how much confidence does that man have? Now, there's a difference, at least to me, in arrogance and utter confidence. Arrogance is you just think you're invincible. Utter confidence is just you know what you can do, you'll do it. And he said when they were down, what were they down, 24 points or something at halftime?
I think they were down 21-3 before half, or 24-3 or 21-3 They got a late touchdown.
And then they got that late touchdown.
Yeah, momentum
swing. And he said before they scored that late touchdown, even though they were down three scores, he said, you know what? I know we're going to be able to come back, and that's what they did.
And it's not necessarily even it is confidence to a certain degree, but it's just the fact of, I'm going to be calm, cool, and collected. I'm not going to panic.
He is a cool cat.
No, yeah, he is. And that whole team was. And I tell you what, the way they came back in that game, and really, ultimately, it was sad. I've told you last week that I think the Saints are the best team in football. I still think that just because their offense is so potent, they're never out of a game. That's what we saw on Sunday.
That's what I saw. They're never out of a game.
But the problem I saw,
it's a gritty team,
is what happens when you play a better team than Miami. Because Miami's they're an okay team. They're under 500.
Yeah, but you're gonna have those.
No. But what I say is this:
Miami's been able to knock off New England in the past.
What I say is this: their defense. I've talked about them. They are better. They're still not good. They're forcing turnovers, and that makes up for a lot of mistakes. But I tell you what, they're a bend-but-don't-break defense. And we saw that last year for the Panthers, though, and it doesn't work out at the end of the year.
Yeah, but we knew their defense wasn't going to be the highlight
of the
season.
No, it's supposed to be much aligned. And people were saying, oh, this is one of the league's best defenses. I beg to differ.
It's the best at forcing turnovers, but at the best at holding opponents? No, I don't believe it.
No, I'm not saying it myself, but a lot of analysts and insiders.
You've
got
to give it to Darren Sharper, though. Darren Sharper is having a career
year. He's one interception return for a touchdown away from tying the all-time record.
He tied Rod Woodson last night?
Oh, yeah, he'll have the record. He tied Rod Woodson, who, I mean, anytime you're in the same conversation as Rod Woodson.
It's impressive.
That's
FCS
something.
Player, too.
Yeah, exactly. I like the Saints. There are some things that worry me. The defense is one of them. But like I said, I mean, you're going to win your fair share of ball games when you got a franchise quarterback and you got a running game that can be as dynamic as they were. And I tell you what, Reggie Bush just had the highlight of his short and very underwhelming NFL career on Sunday with that. I don't know if you saw this. They ran a double reverse. It might have been a triple reverse. I can't entirely remember.
It was a triple reverse because they started left, went back right, and then came back left with Reggie Bush.
He came back to that far sideline, and he literally jumped. He left his feet from the five-yard line and jumped 5 feet in the air, held the ball over the pylon because the end zone does run into perpetuity, and he was able to get the end zone.
Sean Payton's got to be one of the most absolutely creative coaches I've ever seen, because being able to make all these calls like this, I mean, who would have thought a triple reverse?
Well, he's an offensive
situation.
Guru. That's how he got the job in the first place.
And I think he fits perfectly with that team, and I think that's why they mesh so well. But you got to give it to Reggie Bush. He did make a very crazy play. It reminded you of USC back in his days with USC, because other than USC, he's not had a very good pro career. I mean, he hasn't had a good pro career. He hasn't done anything since. He's a niche player.
He's not going to ever be.
And people were harping on the fact that the Texans got Mario Williams and that was awful. They should have got Reggie Bush.
Look who's laughing now.
Yeah, look who's laughing now.
And speaking of the Texans, I want to talk about this game real quickly. That Texans-Niners game, which I said last week that the Texans were going to win in that game, the Niners were going to lose. The Niners, people were really quickly to jump on that bandwagon and say that they were going places, they were a special team. Not happening.
Look at who was that quarterback.
But they got down early, 21-3 in that game, and guess what happens? They plug in Alex Smith. He goes on to throw three touchdowns, all to Vernon Davis in the rest of that game. He did throw an interception, but I think he was 16-24 for about 200 yards, three touchdowns and one interception, as I said.
The interception was costly.
But I tell you what, I was impressed. He looked like a different quarterback. It was only for 1 week, but the Texans are proving themselves to be a good team. They're proving that they're going to be in the conversation for an AFC wild card.
I think that's been the talk for the last 3 or 4 years.
But they're proving it now. They're 5-2, I think, right now. They're proving it.
I don't know if they can hang. I don't know.
They have one of the best tight ends, and
then lose it again. It's like they have.
They've never been this good on as a team at this point in the season. They're off to their best start as a team. I'm ready to say that they're going to contend for a wild card. I'm not saying they're going to win it. They're going to be in contention. But I was impressed with Alex Smith after.
And he's starting now. I mean, he's got the starting job.
Yeah, he was named the starter today by Coach Mike Singletary. But I tell you what, after what's happened the past few years, I thought his career was over, plain and simple. He looked like a David Carr to me. How do you resurrect that sort of damage that was done to his psyche? But he looked good.
I'm not going to crown him yet.
No, that's what I'm saying. I want to see what happens for a few weeks in a row.
Chris Winkie had one good game, and we saw what happened the rest of his career.
But he was very impressive. That'll probably do it for the NFL talk right now. We got to take a break. When we get back, the World Series is set. Yanks and Phillies. The Fightins. We're going to see what happens. The I-95 battle is what they're calling it right now. Interleague play matchup from earlier this year. So we'll get caught up on that. Also, a prominent ESPN anchor was fired. We'll talk about that and see what happened going on there. Also, the NBA season tips off on Wednesday. Couldn't be more excited. We're going to get into the NBA season preview as well. Lots more coming up on Sports Out the Wazoo. Hang tight. We'll be right back on 90.5 WASU FM, online at WASURocks.com.